We had a few Davids so far. We got a Sean coming in now, Sean Summers, who is the CEO of Pick and Pay. Sean, lovely to be able to finally catch you. Although I believe from your email back, you're like me. You're a member at least of the 5 a.m. club, in office by 6 a.m. You've got a strong work ethic, always have. And I guess you need it right now with Pick and Pay.
Well, somebody has to put the croissants in the oven early, Alec. They don't just pop out miraculously at 8 o'clock. All warm and beautiful.
Well, somebody has really been at it. And congrats on the deal that you struck with First Rand or FNB on e-bucks. It kind of got lost somewhere in the news flow of last week. But having read that, it's a big win for Pick and Pay if you consider what you're up against with Checkers and so forth. Just unpack what it means and how you put it together.
I think it's a huge win for us, Alex. And as you say, you know, some things get lost in the news cycle, although everything appears to get lost in the news cycle these days. There's just so much information around, and one's just really got to dial out the noise and just stay really focused on your North Star. Just keep sort of moving on. So the FNB e-bucks thing is massive. It is a huge hit. I mean, it's the most popular loyalty scheme that is in the country. They distributed about $2.4 billion to their clients last year as part and parcel of that. And it's the start of a journey for us with them. We've got some very, very exciting stuff that we're working on in the background that will be revealed in the next couple of months. And a lot of these things have to be technologically enabled first, as you understand, you know, just to get these devices to work at the end of the day. And some of the things that we're going to be launching just takes a little bit of time, but it's off to a great start already, and I think it's going to be wonderful for us going forward. And it's just great to see the confidence that FNB have placed in Pick and Pay and our turnaround.
Does it mean, Sean, that if I have e-bucks with First National Bank account, that I can come into Pick and Pay and use those to buy product?
Absolutely. You can burn your e-bucks in Pick and Pay with effect from the 1st of November. In both Pick and Pay stores and Pick and Pay clothing. So Pick and Pay clothing for their top tier clients, they can get up to 20% off. And this is basically the relationship that FNB has built up with its clients over a period of time. I mean, e-bucks have been going on for over 20 years. You know, it was started when Paul Harris was still back in the day there. And it's just an extraordinary scheme, and it's wonderful for us.
How did you land it, though? Because FNB has got the whole world that it can choose from. You are going through, as you said, a turnaround. It's tough times. We saw that in your interims last week. So how did you get them to believe the story?
I think, you know, Alex, one of the difficulties, I mean, obviously they have sight of what's going on behind, because on the other side of the wall, they are also significant funders of ours. In the RMB process. And if you have a look at the current listings and the rights offer, so they certainly have good look through as to where we are and dial out the noise. Because, you know, one of the issues, Alec, and I mean, you're in this game yourself, you know, it's all about eyeballs and clicks at the end of the day for a lot of the media. So you just got to get rid of all of the nonsense headlines that one reads today, the clickbait stuff. They've got a good view under the hood of where Pick and Pay is, what the journey is that we are on, and what the trajectory is. We still have a very significant base in the company. I mean, we're in excess of $100 billion enterprise. So when you read all of these stories about, oh, Pick and Pay can't stand a chance, it hasn't got the scale, ShopRite Checkers are growing at this pace, you know, sure, all of those things are realities in the sideline, but you have to ask, what does it really mean commercially at the end of the day? I mean, I use my best example. You know, my finest retail chain in the world today is Wegmans in America. And I mean, Wegmans is not size-wise even in the top 15 chains in America. They're maybe 12 or 13, yet they run the finest business. And for us, you know, that's our pursuit, is to get back to running a quality operation. From next year, we will be in a situation that we'll be able to start reinvesting in our very, very beautiful geographic fleet of stores that we have. I mean, we've still got some extraordinary centers that we're in, but that are just terribly underinvested. And, you know, part and parcel of that journey is not only rehabilitating the stores, it's about rehabilitating the people as well. It's a year ago since I walked into this building. And, I always use the analogy, when I came back here a year ago, I sadly couldn't find a pulse. Most people were working from home. It was still the tail end of that sort of era. And Lorena and a couple of the finance people who were sitting here like deers in the headlight trying to just sort of keep things turning over. But for the balance, there really was no pulse in the company. I had a supplier last week who said to me, "Sean, you need to know this." He said, "It's been more than a decade since I've walked into your buyer's offices and gone around the company and heard laughter and positivity and people talking about the future." And he said, "You just need to know it. I just wanted to share it with you." So I said to him, "Well, thank you very much, because, those are the things really at the end of the day that get you through these times and actually develop more character and make us stronger." So I think at FNB certainly has seen the change in cadence in the organization. They've been around this year firsthand, and we're very honored that they've joined us and we've been allowed to join them.
We've been talking to Evan Walker from 361, who you know very well, and he's been giving us some really good insights over the past few days about Pick and Pay and the retail landscape. But the one thing he did point out was that Boxer has been a sensational business, and it's part of Pick and Pay. So I guess for outsiders to say, but hang on, you've got on the one side, Sean's got this struggling ship. On the other side, within the organization, is a superstar. What went wrong between the two of them?
I think that, if you look at Boxer, Alec, and I've told this story 100 times. Some 22 years ago, I pursued Pat Goss and then Hugh Band, who was running Boxer and the Clarks, and eventually we bought it 22 years ago, thank heavens. So it's rather ironic to return and have Boxer kind of save the day for us. But Boxer has always been run as a completely freestanding business. The team were always left completely on their own, and it was kept that way. So, they've been allowed to grow from the just under 40-odd stores that we bought in those days, which we paid 180-odd million rand there, and to grow it into the business that it is today. They opened their 500th store last week, and it's just been an extraordinary journey. And the view that we had originally then was that for that market, one needed to have a very, very focused business to attract and actively compete in a day-to-day basis in that market. Completely different overhead structure. And that's why it's been kept on that basis. Good luck to them, and it's been fantastic. To go through, as I always preached here in the office a long time ago when I came back, guys, nobody had a rear view mirror again, because I'm really not interested in yesterday. When you come into my office and sit down, I want to know, what are you doing today, tomorrow, next week, next year, next month? Because that's where it's at. So to come and tell me who did what or didn't do really doesn't help, other than I need to have context as to how we arrived here so that we don't repeat some of the same behaviors. But for the team, it's all about focusing on tomorrow and just keeping your head down and ignore the noise.
Is Pat Goss still involved in Boxer?
No, Pat. When we bought the business, he sat on the board for a while. Pat was off and out the business long time ago. But as Pat is Pat, he still keeps in regular contact with Marek and the team at Boxer. So absolutely, but he's not involved in a day-to-day basis.
So Sean, for those who are now trying to understand Pick and Pay better, when Boxer is separately listed, will Pick and Pay still own some of it? Is Pick and Pay going to get money that will liquidate debt on the Pick and Pay side? And
absolutely.
Is there a risk of throwing good money after bad?
No. Here we have to be very guided and careful in what we say, as you well understand, all of the various statements and documents and PLSs out there. So what will happen is, and this is what we've articulated to the market, is that we will raise in the upper end of the 6 to 8 billion of cash, which will go in on top of the 4 billion that was raised in the rights offer. And then what that does at a Pick and Pay level is that we will maintain a controlling shareholding in Boxer. So it will still be a subsidiary, basically, of the company. It will be a listed entity, but we will maintain the controlling shareholding there. And then what that does is it completely reshapes Pick and Pay's balance sheet. We will be sitting with strong cash on hand on our balance sheet as at the end of this year, all things being equal. If the markets remain as fairly consistent as they are at the moment, we will get that away. And it therefore means that from next year on, we will then be able to start entering back into a cycle of redeploying capital into the core pick and pay business. Up until now, all of the capital we've had I've given to Boxer and to clothing, because that's been our two primary growth engines. And this year for us in pick and pay has been one of stabilization, Alec. It's been one of getting to grips with a very complex 11-bank lender group and having to manage that dynamic and get that dealt with, deal with the two corporate actions that we have had on the go. And then next year is just going to be an extraordinary year for us, because we'll really get into a situation that we can then start supporting our newly created management team under the leader of Dallas. And Dallas is heading up our core pick and pay business in South Africa. And I mean, we're already seeing a lot of trajectories and things moving in the right direction there. And it's every day, you know, one just wants to see the cadence just increasing solidly, steadily. You know, this is not about any sort of one day blip up and then back down again. It's just about consistently building the momentum back into the business again.
What's the reaction been like from investors that you've spoken to on the interim results?
It's been nothing but hugely positive. It's almost like a parallel world. You know, when I walked out of the auditorium last Monday, having done the results presentation, and the people that were in the room, well, the analysts who are sitting there really sort of tearing all of the numbers to pieces, everybody's standing there saying, wow, we cannot believe what's happened in a year. We cannot believe all of these plans that come in place. And, you know, then you come to your office and then you start reading all of the silly little headlines that are out there in a lot of these online publications, which is just going for clicks at the end of the day and getting eyeballs. And you kind of read it. I mean, I had the one young lady, I did media interviews the entire day. And so the one young lady, when I came on the phone, was gushing and glowing about unbelievable results, great stuff from what have you. And I said, well, it certainly doesn't reflect in the headline that you've written in your article. You know, so she just sort of said, well, you know, yeah, it is what it is. You know, I don't write the headlines. My editor does. And you know, I mean, you've been in this industry your whole life. And especially now in this online world, you know, this media space kind of goes from somebody on TikTok who's got an audience of maybe 1,000 or 1,500 people making crazy comments all the way through to YouTubers who got a bit of noise. And so, yeah, that's why I say, Alec, you just got to dial it out at the end of the day. You've got to deal with the stuff that's of substance and just keep your eye on the prize and go forward. What we will also have in the balance sheet is the cash on hand that we know that we will continue to burn in the next while as we move back to getting into profitability again. This company was severely and seriously debilitated. And if anybody thought this was going to be easy and it was just going to be a walk in the park, it never was. I said within the first week of coming back that this would be a multi-year journey, that sadly, in my tummy, I felt that things would get worse before they got better, because I could see that from the numbers as well. And that's what those results are a manifestation of. But I can quietly and confidently say that the worst is behind us. And the really big stuff that we've had to deal with is largely dealt with. And it's now just a solid journey over the next 18, 24 months of getting ourselves back into the sunshine again. So the amounts of money that we've set aside to get ourselves there, that's all taken care of in the current planning and capital structures that are there. So onwards we go.
Sean Summers, Chief Executive of Pick and Pay. And if you recall, Sean was also one of our speakers at the last BizNews conference. Remember, the next one's coming up in March next year. I think we've got at least as strong a lineup from the 11th to the 13th of March in Hermanus. Hope you could join us then.